Are you looking for a new devotional resource in 2019? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. The first three stanzas of the hymn, O Lord, throughout these 40 days, it describes there in hymnic form the temptation that Jesus endured for us. Now, his temptation in the wilderness, is it his only temptation, those three encounters with Satan, or is there more to it? And how is it that Jesus is tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin? What's different about the temptation that Jesus endured from the way that I am tempted? What's the same about his temptation and mine? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the temptation of Jesus in Luke's Gospel. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll talk about higher education, Christian higher education, in fact. Dr. Scott Ashman will join us. He's editor of the book, The Idea and Practice of a Christian University, a Lutheran Approach. Since it is the month of Facebook's 15th anniversary, hard to believe it's only been 15 years, we're going to be talking about Reformation insights into social media. Pastor Trevor Sutton will join us, and then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Not only will we be going through listener email and the comment line, but there in the last half hour of the program, we'll have a major announcement for our listeners as well. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson today, the temptation of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So how was Jesus' temptation, the temptation he underwent for us, both the same and different than the temptations we experience daily?
It was the same in the sense that how often do we hear that we are tempted by the flesh, the world, and the devil. The flesh, turn these stones into bread, and you won't be hungry anymore. The world, if you would jump down from the pinnacle, they'll know you're the Messiah. And of course, the greatest one, the devil, worship me and all that I have will be yours. I find it's not only interesting that we also are tempted by the flesh, the world, and the devil, but if you look closely at the first temptation of the devil in Genesis 3, verse 6, Eve also had the same three temptations as Jesus did. She looked at the tree and saw it was good for food. That's temptation of the flesh. Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Second of all, she said, it was pleasant to the eyes. And that's the world flesh. It looked good in the world. Jesus jumped from the pinnacle. And then the devil said to her, boy, you'll be able to become wise as God, knowing now the difference between good and evil. He promised her something, which he does also to Jesus. Worship me, and I will give you everything that I have. which really isn't very much, the sinful world, etc. So not only does the temptations of Eve parallel those of Jesus, but it again shows us the purpose of Jesus to reverse what had happened in the fall in order that we might be saved from our temptations. We're also tempted by the flesh. We may see and get angry at someone because they have a better looking car than we have, or a better house, or maybe even a better family. And the world, wow, how many times do we do things out of self-interest in order to make us appear to look good than we really are? And then, able to make one wise, worship me, all will be yours. We just tend to believe these false promises from the devil. In fact, every time we sin, we're doing it because we think we're wiser than God. If we did not sin, that would show that God is wiser than us. So every sin is, again, that third kind of temptation that both Eve and Jesus had in trying to make us look wiser than we really are.
Are these the only temptations that Jesus undergoes during his earthly ministry?
No, it's kind of like the coming of the wise men. Most people think there were three wise men because there are three gifts mentioned, but that is never said in the Bible. There were just three. There could have been more. And similarly here with these temptations, first of all, it says that he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him. So these three temptations occurred during the end of the 40 days. Who can imagine all the other temptations that you and I would have? I mean, why does the Spirit lead me into the wilderness? One can understand that Jesus may have been asking questions, but he never fell into sin. So certainly there were more temptations than just the three mentioned, which shows that we also go through many temptations in our lifetime, all of which Jesus was able to keep from sin.
What's the relationship between Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, as Luke will tell us, and this time he spends in the wilderness being tempted by the devil?
Well, this occurs directly after the baptism of Jesus. And John the Baptizer even mentions that he sees the Spirit descending like a dove and entering into Jesus, so that Jesus now, filled with the Holy Spirit, is able for sure as a human being to do fruit of faith. In Matthew 25, there's a big distinction between the works of the sheep and the goats. And a lot of people think that only the sheep visit people in prison, etc. No, the goats visit them also, but they do it out of self-interest. God always looks at a person's motivation in doing an outward good work. And if the motivation is because he is in Christ and therefore guided by the Holy Spirit, then that becomes a fruit of faith. And that's why Jesus compliments the sheep on the day of judgment, not for their good works, which they did of their own ability, but fruit of faith that came about because within them was the Holy Spirit guiding them and motivating them. And we'll recall the sheep. When did we do all these things? Whatsoever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did unto me. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, therefore, as a human being, would not sin because of the faith the Holy Spirit gave him, and he was able to respond in light of the temptations from the devil.
Talk a little bit, Tom, about just the audacity of the devil to attempt to tempt the very Son of God. That takes a lot of, I was going to say courage, but I guess in the case of the devil, it's going to be simple hubris or pride.
Yes. In this context, the Greek word used for the devil is diabolo. It occurs 38 times in the New Testament. And what it means, it is one who is prone to slander. He accuses falsely. And it is used as a metaphor applying to a man who opposes the cause of God. And therefore, when a man is referred to as acting as a diabolos, he may be said to be acting the part of the devil or to side with him. In fact, Jesus kind of said that to Peter after Peter heard Jesus say, I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Peter says, no, I will protect you. And of course, what does Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because here, Peter was acting on the part of the devil. Satan here is the prince of the demons, the author of evil, and his goal is to estrange mankind from God. And when enticing them to sin, he is giving them the impression that there is no way that God is going to save you because you are such a sinner. And children need to hear this from their Sunday school teachers, that their sin is being reminded to them again and again by the devil, not for the purpose of them repenting and turning to Jesus, but for the purpose of giving them a guilty conscience and thinking that God is therefore going to punish them. And I would have a conversation with children. Can you think of a time when God punished you for your sin? And they'll come up with a number of instances. Now, if they misbehaved and received discipline from the parents, that's one thing. But sometimes they'll say, well, I had a pet fish. I really loved it, and it died. And that means I must have done something wrong to God. So we want to make it clear that diabolos, the name used for the devil in this point, like Satan, refers to him as accuser. He loves to slander us and get us to try and no longer be in sync with Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday, February the 12th, the temptation of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, we'll talk about how Jesus responds to the various temptations that the devil brings to him.
Everybody. It was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Concordia University Chicago's music programs will support your aspirations, whether you want to pursue a professional career in music or simply improve your skills. Experience a wide variety of musical learning and performance in a Christian environment. Auditions for music scholarships will be held February 9th, 16th, and 18th, open to both music majors and non-majors. Admitted students register today by logging into connect.cuchicago.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the temptation of Jesus as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Tom, let's talk about the particular temptations, how Satan approaches Jesus, and how Jesus responds to those particular temptations.
In each temptation, Jesus responds with a passage from Scripture, and they are all from Deuteronomy. The first one, where the devil says, you know, you should change these stones into bread, Jesus responds, man shall not live by bread alone. That's Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. In the next temptation, he says, I will give all authority to you and these kingdoms if you will worship me. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's Deuteronomy 6, 13, and 14. And then he takes them to the pinnacle of the temple, and he tells them to throw down. Now, you need to know a little bit of the history. At the time of Judaism, there was a teaching that when the Messiah appears, he will appear at a certain pinnacle of the temple on the Day of Atonement. So if this was near the Day of Atonement or on the Day of Atonement, these particular temptations, and Jesus threw himself down and did not hurt himself at all, then people would believe that he was the Messiah, and therefore he would not need to go to the cross for them to know that he was the Messiah. But Jesus says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Now, that's significant, because who is the devil tempting? He's tempting Jesus. And Jesus uses the quote about not tempting the Lord your God. And so, although it could refer also that the Father would be being tempted here, it's Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who's being tempted. But I want to say something here. We do not want to teach the children that the way you overcome temptations is simply to quote a Bible verse from the Bible to overcome the temptation. There may be occasions when you are able to do that, but we are not Jesus in the sense that we are always sinless. And to use this lesson to have Jesus as an example we are to follow in order to get to heaven misses the whole point. The whole point here is that Jesus is taking care of us in regard to a particular kind of sin. There's two sins we do. We do sins that are active, where we actually break God's law and do something wrong. But then we also do sins where we do not do the good we are to do. Oh, those two sins are sins of commission and sins of omission. What Jesus does on the cross is takes care of our sins of commission in paying the penalty that should have been mine for my sins of commission. But in those areas where we are not as righteous in doing good works as we should have, Jesus has what we call an active obedience, where he actively was obedient to God's will. And these temptations are a perfect example of his active obedience. But how do we receive his active obedience to us? There are two places in the Bible, at least, in Isaiah and in Revelation, where God talks about the robe of righteousness, which is Jesus' robe. And so I would definitely bring in to the children when they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because Peter says in Acts chapter 2 that when you are baptized, you receive two gifts. The gift of the forgiveness of sins, that takes care of our sins of commission, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that now enters us, that takes care of our sins of omission. And therefore, the purpose of Jesus going through these temptations was not only to kind of give us an example how occasionally we may fight off temptations, but more importantly, to succeed in fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament that Christ is our righteousness. Martin Luther was really confused about that earlier before he realized what that meant. He thought that we had to be as righteous as Christ, and he was very forlorn and depressed until he understood that that righteousness is something that God actually gives to us, not by our works, but through faith in the promises of the gospel. And that's the point we want to make. When we get to heaven, we'll have a whole slew of sins of commission and a whole slew of sins of omission. But Jesus, in having died on the cross and having given us his robe of righteousness, takes care of both of those problems, so heaven becomes the home of those who trust the words of the gospel.
The two temptations that follow the one to feed himself contain deceptions or attempted deceptions in and of themselves. This promise to give to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, does Satan possess such authority?
Yes, Satan possesses such authority because God permits it, because, and the Heidelberg Disputation, which Luther wrote in 1518, is filled with this, that through suffering, we really look forward to going back to God, because we have been misled by the devil. And you hear a lot about that even today. For example, people will use the Bible and say, the Bible says to forgive others. So does that mean that criminals should not be punished by going to jail? Or the Bible says not to judge others. So it is wrong to excommunicate those who have unrepentant sin? Or it says God says that love is more important than anything. Well, does that mean it is unloving to mention that living together outside of marriage is sinful? And we're going through a time in the world today where many Bible verses are being misused by people because of the devil, in order to give us another understanding of them that is contrary to how God understands them. And so this is what the devil was doing here in telling him that, boy, if you will only worship me if you will only do this, and I will give you protection. The word called Jesus the Son of God, and he also says angels will protect him. But that doesn't mean that you should recklessly throw yourself into their arms, because the Bible also says, do not put God to the test. So Jesus would continue to face Satan throughout his ministry, as the devil sought many opportune times to subvert Jesus from the Father's will to save us. And just look at the attitude of the disciples, how they often were misusing the word of God in order either to protect Jesus from being crucified or not really loving people as they should have.
Two quick final questions for you, Tom. Do we see here how the devil can misuse Scripture and how he routinely does attempt to misuse the very word of God?
Yes, that's clear from the particular item that he uses, which is this last one, where he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, that's the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And, by the way, there's another section the devil misses out on. To keep you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And therefore, he misquotes the scripture by leaving out a part of it from the Bible. And that's when Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And at that point, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time.
Finally then, Tom, with about a minute here, what is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school lesson of Jesus' temptation?
The law is one in which is pretty obvious, because the law, every sermon, has to attack the people in the pew, or as we say, accuse them in the pew, or criticize them in the pew. If a sermon doesn't have that in it, well, it might be a pretty good lecture or maybe a topical thing, but it's not a sermon. Jesus, read the Sermon on the Mount as he criticizes the people in thinking they haven't murdered anybody and forgets about thoughts and words. So the law is, the devil often tempts me and I often give into it because I believe the promises of the devil rather than the promises of God. The gospel, though, when I do a sin, which is one of a commission sin, God forgives it. And when I do not do a good work, a sin of omission, God gives me the righteousness of Christ. So I end up on judgment day wearing the white robe of righteousness dipped in the blood of the Lamb.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We talk with him every week. We are working from a great Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It's from Concordia Publishing House. It's a Sunday school curriculum for all ages, and it focuses upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, Old Testament, New Testament. That's why it's called Growing in Christ. Find out more about Growing in Christ. Give Concordia Publishing House a call. They'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Christian higher education. There is a mixed message sent in higher education. It's one between a useful education and one that brings intellectual liberty. We'll find out whether or not those things necessarily need to contradict one another on the other side of the break when we talk with Dr. Scott Ashman.
Who is your neighbor? And what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? This February, the Lutheran Witness is exploring what it looks like when Lutherans show God's love to neighbors in need. Highlights include one church's dramatic account of weathering Hurricane Michael and the profile of an LCMS-recognized service organization serving the poorest of the poor in rural Appalachia. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
O morning star,
listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.